If you're looking to discover a new book, NPR has a marvelous mechanism to help you out. It's called Books We Love, and it's a sortable guide to hundreds of great books from 2021 as handpicked and recommended by the NPR staff. I'm Stephen Thompson, and today we are talking about some of the music-related books we loved on Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Talkspace. This year, make mental health a part of your daily routine with Talkspace. Talkspace matches you with a licensed therapist you can connect with right from your phone or computer, with live chat, video, and audio sessions for whenever you need support. Because mental health is more than just another New Year's resolution. Visit Talkspace.com and get $100 off your first month when you use promo code HAPPYHOUR at signup.
Joining us is a bunch of our pals from NPR Music. From her home in Nashville is critic Ann Powers. Hey, Ann.
Hello, Stephen.
Also joining us, Marissa LaRusso. Hello, Marissa.
Hello, hello.
So glad to have you. Also with us is Tom Huizenga. Welcome, Tom.
Hey, Stephen. Nice to be here.
It is great to have you. So NPR's Books We Love project used to be called the Book Concierge, but whatever you call it, it is a great way to find a book for any occasion, any reader, any set of tastes and interests. This is a labor of love and literacy put together by a wonderful team and dedicated to our dear friend and colleague, NPR Books editor Petra Mayer, who died in November. For this discussion, I have put together a little super team of friends from NPR Music to discuss some of their favorite music-specific books of 2021. And I'm going to start with you. Hit me with a recommendation.
Well, Stephen, I don't know how many rock and roll novels you've read in your life. I've read a few, and I'm almost always disappointed, but not this year, I'm happy to say. This book that I love is called The Final Revival of Opal and Nev. It's by Donnie Walton, and it is a rock novel done in the form of kind of an oral history about a black woman from Detroit named Opal Jewell who pairs up with a white Englishman, Nev Charles, to form a group and become an early 1970s sensation with lots of complications. Then they reunite, and it's kind of the story of their beginning, their end, and the drama that happens in between. This novel is important to me because it gets the details right about rock and roll, about the music industry, racism and sexism in rock and roll in the music industry. But it's just like the details are so perfect. I kept every page. I was like, yes, that's what happened. That's what I've been there. And the oral history form is super fun as well. You really get a sense of these characters. And Donnie Walton, who was an entertainment journalist for a long time, but also took a long time to write this book and really went into the history to understand her subject. She just captures the tone of that era of classic rock and roll and the spirit as well.
Who is she using as kind of templates? Is she, you said she draws on a lot of rock history writing this book. Are the characters stand-ins for real people?
Well, yeah, that's a beautiful thing about The Final Revival of Opal and Nev. They're not like pure stand-ins for individuals, but they're composites that you will really recognize. There's elements of Mary Clayton, who we know as one of the great singers of the time. She sang on Gimme Shelter with the Rolling Stones, mm-hmm. of Nona Hendrix and the rock supergroup La Belle. It's kind of part of it. There's a little Tina Turner in Opal. There's a great kind of gospel element to her story and her sister's story. So the great gospel singers are also reflected in these characters. And Nev Charles, well, if you watched, as I know you did, Stephen, that endless Beatles documentary, he's just a very Beatlesque guy who kind of turns into a Phil Collins-esque guy later in the soft rock era. So yes, many touchstones, but enough depth and multidimensionality to these characters that they live on their own.
Wonderful. That is The Final Revival of Opal and Nev. And if Ann Powers says that it gets the details right, I trust Ann Powers to tell me that this book gets the details right. All right, Marissa LaRusso, give us your pick.
So my pick is a book called Pop Song by Larissa Pham. Larissa is an essayist and a cultural critic and a visual artist. She actually got started as a painter. She studied painting in college. And Pop Song is her memoir, and it's her debut nonfiction book. It's made up of 11 essays, and they kind of chart her life through college and in her 20s in New York. And so it's like a lot of classic themes from that time in your life. There's a lot of love, a lot of heartbreak, a lot of finding yourself. And, you know, it's a great exploration of those things. But it's also very much a book about art and how art and artists can change our lives and help us understand ourselves. And I think specifically if the title alone isn't a giveaway as to why it's a great book for music lovers, the dedication is so great. She says, if you've ever sung along to a song on the radio, this is for you. Which means it's definitely a book for me and probably you, Stephen and Anne and Tom also.
For sure.
Definitely.
Because Larissa is a writer and a visual artist, she writes a lot about being inspired by other visual artists and writers. So Georgia O'Keeffe, Agnes Martin, Sylvia Plath, Anne Carson, they all show up. But she's also a music fan, and she writes a lot about music in a similar way. There's one essay in particular, it's called What We Say Without Saying, where she writes about a few performances that really speak to her. So there's this video of James Blake covering Joni Mitchell that she watches on YouTube, and there's a YouTube video of Stevie Nicks singing backstage at a photo shoot, and also Frank Ocean's album Blonde, which we all love. Mm-hmm. And what I love about how Larissa writes about music is that she captures that feeling of curiosity and obsession and how it can unlock something in us or help us process something or kind of serve as a kind of comfort we didn't even know we needed. She's just like a beautiful, very expressive, emotional writer. And I really recommend this book for anyone who loves music or just loves being moved by art in general.
Wonderful. That is Pop Song, Adventures in Art and Intimacy by Larissa Pham. Tom Heisinger, give us your pick.
So my pick is called Singing Like Germans, Black Musicians in the Land of Bach, Beethoven, and Brahms. It is simply some of the most eye-opening classical music research I have ever read. It's by Kira Thurman, assistant professor of history of Germanic languages and literatures at the University of Michigan. She's a classically trained pianist who grew up in Vienna, Austria. She's also the founder of this fascinating website called blackcentraleurope.com. And I don't know about you guys, but when I read a nonfiction book, I tend to like bend page corners over and underline stuff. And I have never underlined more in a book than this one. It's just startling observations and research on every page. And if you had to describe the book in a very much of a nutshell, here's one thing I underlined that she says. The story of Black classical musicians in Central Europe is a story of both Black musicians performing Beethoven and the white Germans who forgot them. Mm. So, because Black musicians were denied opportunities to study and perform in the U.S., you know, they fled to German-speaking Europe as early as the 1870s, and that's way before, you know, the birth of jazz. And they were in search of artistic freedom. And Thurman says, well, yeah, they found that freedom, but they also discovered these new forms of racism. And Thurman presents just dozens of untold stories of these musicians and their new surroundings. She covers some of the most famous, like, you know, contralto Marian Anderson and tenor Roland Hayes. But some of the more interesting ones are the stories of the lesser-known artists, like the violinist Brindis de Salas, who was dubbed the Black Paganini, or pianist Hazel Harrison, who was the first Black soloist to perform with the Berlin Philharmonic in 1904.
Wow.
So some of the critics and audiences actually applauded these Black musicians for their extraordinary talent, but others, you know, rejected them. They were afraid that they were kind of encroaching on Germany's, like, sacred art. Thurman sets all these stories within their sociopolitical context of the times. So for me, the big takeaways are, you know, when looking at history, it all depends on who's telling the story, right? And number two, what an amazing legacy these once little known but amazing artists left. Again, I think it's one of the most groundbreaking books of research in the last few decades.
Yeah, I would imagine it's incredibly difficult to capture descriptions of music that has presumably been lost to the ages. Like, there aren't recordings of this music that she's drawing from, so she's having to draw from people's perceptions of it at the time, right?
Exactly. And it gets very complicated because the Black musicians that came over, to some Germans, they were merely a curiosity. They went to the performances because they wanted to see someone with dark-colored skin. And to others, they were real musicians who really delved deep inside, let's say, German Lieder, German art song. Mm-hmm. So there are revelatory things on almost every page of this book, and I highly recommend it. It covers, by the way, a very long period of time from 1870 until 1961.
Wow. It's interesting how all of our books connect in terms of memory or history or trying to evoke the ethereal presence of music, whether it's, Larissa, your book, which is really about emotional history, or, you know, the way that music lives in our individual memories. Final Revival of Opal and Nev is a history we think we know very well, but Donnie Walton illuminates it in a new way. And then Tom, this is history that's being completely reclaimed.
Yeah, untold, basically.
Yeah, I love how these books complement each other.
Well, leave it to Ann Powers to tie everything together in a neat little bow.
It's my job.
One of the reasons we keep asking you back, my friend. If you want to discover even more books that NPR loved this year, visit npr.org/bestbooks. There's a nifty tag called For Music Lovers that'll help you discover even more great books that intersect with music. That brings us to the end of our show. Thanks to all of you for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you, Stephen.
Thank you, Stephen.
And of course, thank you for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. We will see you all tomorrow.